to tell us something about the world of life and as well as other things.
Will do.
Thank
will
you.
Thanks very much. Well, it's good to be with you all this morning. Thank you very much for the invite. I don't think I've ever been to Twinning. Some of you more mature people here may remember my dad coming out, but I can't recall coming out with him, so this is my first time. So thank you very much. I've just been asked to share a few things about myself before we look in God's Word. My name's Dave Collett. I'm an evangelist, a full-time evangelist in Worcester. And as Clive mentioned, I was a police officer, for about 15 years. I did about 5 years up in Birmingham, a wonderful place called Smethwick, and then I transferred down to Bournemouth, and I did 10 years down in the Dorset area, which was almost semi-retirement. And during that, I spent most of my time. I was on the beat for about 9 years. Then spent my last 6 years in the CID. And it was during that time that I came across lots of people, mainly the same people over and over again, who were just caught up in a cycle of crime, drugs and alcohol. And in the church I was at then, my wife and I, we were challenged by Mark's gospel and about taking up our cross and following Jesus. And, I really enjoyed the police force, but dealing with those same people, time and time again, in a hopeless situation, which challenged my faith. So you can't say these people are in a hopeless situation, because I know hope, I know Jesus, and he can free you from the position you're in. So we felt really challenged, and just sought the Lord about our lives. And about 4 years ago, it was about 3 or 4 years ago, I came out of the police force. And moved back up to Worcester to work as an evangelist. Do you know Colin Dean? Has Colin Dean ever been out here? Do you know? He has, right, okay. Well, I'm the younger version of Colin. And Colin is slowing down a bit now. And I'm taking over. And it's been great to work with Colin for about 3 years. But, I kind of link our relationship into a bit like Elijah and Elisha. Colin was very much into getting the word of God out to people in society. And I'd say I'm a bit more like Elisha, more relational with people. And lots of the people I meet have had drug or drink issues, and their lives are smashed. Absolutely smashed. And it's just been a privilege to speak God's word into people's lives and to just see them, their lives being transformed by the power of God. And it's really interesting just spending time with people, and God is doing amazing things. And I've just started linking up with a farm, Good Soil Farm. It's called Top Barn Farm, but there's a project on Top Barn Farm in Hallow called the Good Soil Project. And there's a verse I just want to share with you from that. It's Ezekiel 17, verse 8. If anybody gets to it before me, if you stand up and read it out, and I've got a feeling that you won't. But here we go. Just a verse that just really spoke to us. Ezekiel 17, verse 8. It has been planted on good soil by abundant waters, that it might produce branches and bear fruit and become a noble vine. There's also another verse that's just really spoken to me from 2 Timothy 3 verse 16 that talks about God's, all scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting and training in righteousness. And that verse has just been amazing for me. There's lots of people today who have come from real terrible backgrounds, and they haven't received teaching. They just receive rebuking in their lives. And if you go before that, we talk about God's word. God is love. And so many people are missing that word love in their lives. So the farming project is just great. The farming is just a cover for working alongside people. But it's great just to work alongside people, seeing people learning new skills and just being able to speak the gospel into their lives and nurture them and just to see them grow. And, you know, I'll just tell you a quick story of a chap who I've known since I came up to Worcester. His name is Rich. He's been on drugs for 27 years. Okay, and I've been trying to get him into rehab for a long time. But I can't remember the song we were singing. But you know, when God speaks, God spoke to him and said to him, "It is finished." And with those words, he's just been into rehab. And he's still there. He's got 12 months to do in there. But it's a Christian rehab. And God has just freed him from those drugs. You know, a man, 27 years, just been freed of drug addiction. You know, and now is the time for him just to build his life in the Lord. And it's just fantastic to see God moving. And there's lots of stories like that of men and women being changed. And, you know, it's a walk with these folks, but it's just amazing seeing God at hand and God moving in the lives of people. And I've just been reading Nehemiah and, you know, the building of the walls. And it's so exciting to see that happening this very day in our age. So if you want to know more, please contact me. I can send you our prayer letters. But I'm looking to link up with the farm a lot more. And maybe, who knows, maybe amalgamate. And because I need the farm to help in nurturing, the farm needs me to bring people in. So just praying about our future and how it all works, but seeking the Lord in that. So, yeah, if you've got any questions, come and please hassle me afterwards and it'd be great to share with you. Okay, we're going to have a look at John chapter 21, verses 1 to 19. I think the words are going to come up on the screen. And I'll just read it out, John 21. So John chapter 21, starting at verse 1. Yeah, okay, the heading there threw me. Okay, here we go. "Afterwards, Jesus appeared again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, Nathanael, and the sons of Zebedee, the two other disciples, were together. 'I'm going out to fish,' Simon Peter told them. And they said, 'We'll go with you.' So they went out and got into the boat. But that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Peter stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize it was Jesus. He called out to them, 'Friends, haven't you any fish?' 'No,' they answered. He said, 'Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some.' When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, 'It is the Lord.' As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, 'It is the Lord,' he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from the shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, 'Bring some of the fish you have caught.' Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153, but even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, 'Come and have breakfast.' None of the disciples dared ask him, 'Who are you?' They knew it was the Lord Jesus. They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This is now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?' 'Yes, Lord,' he said. 'You know that I love you.' Jesus said, 'Feed my lambs.' Again, Jesus said, 'Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?' He answered, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' Jesus said, 'Take care of my sheep.' The third time he said to him, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, 'Do you love me?' He said, 'Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you.' Jesus said, 'Feed my sheep. I tell you the truth. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you were old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, follow me. We're just going to leave that there. And it's just a passage that has just really spoken to me. Before we start, I'm just going to pray that God will just open our hearts to this word. Lord, we just thank you for this wonderful, wonderful account of you meeting with your disciples and particularly Peter. Lord, we just pray that you will just speak to us today, Lord, through this passage, that our hearts will be open to receive from you. Lord, just bless our time, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we've got here Jesus appearing to Peter and some of the other disciples. It's a really interesting time, isn't it? Because I think Peter is a bit unsure of his identity here until Jesus meets him. You know, if we just think of where Peter has been in the last couple of days, last week or so, he's denied Jesus. And he wept. He wept at denying Jesus. And following that, the women had been down to the tomb and they'd seen that the tomb was empty, and Peter legged it down to the tomb and went to have a look himself, didn't he? And it says in Luke chapter 24, verse 12, this is what it says. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb, stopping and looking in it. He saw that the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marvelling at what had happened. I think in the NRV it says he was pondering what had happened. And you can just imagine the emotions going through Peter. He'd let Jesus down just before he'd gone to the cross. And here Peter is discovering that Jesus has risen. And you just think to yourself, what's he thinking? He's elated, but also he can be disappointed in himself for what he did. Because Peter was a bit fickle, wasn't he? He had this false courage that he wanted to be bold for the Lord, yet he denied Jesus as well. And, you know, his emotions would have been all over the place. His self-confidence had been annihilated, and his pride had suffered. And here we have, Jesus had appeared to the disciples before, and we're just introduced to this scene where Jesus has that one-to-one encounter with Peter. And I think it's a wonderful, wonderful passage that we're just going to have a look at. I mean, some will call it the restoration of Peter. I mean, it can be the commissioning of Peter as well, can't it? And we see where Peter was. He'd returned fishing. He'd gone back to what he knew. And boy, we've got confidence in what we know, haven't we? And he'd gone back fishing. He'd gone out with some of the other disciples. And as they were fishing, they caught nothing that night. The thing that Peter was an expert at, he caught nothing. And if we have a look where Peter was first caught by Jesus in Luke 5, we see almost something very similar. Peter's on his way back in, and he sees a figure on the shore who shouts, "Cast your net over the other side." And he casts his net out, and it's full of fish. Okay, but this account is different. You know, in that first account, the nets tore, and the boats began to sink. You know, and here we've got the full gospel of Jesus here, haven't we? We've got his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And I just want to encourage you this morning that the nets didn't break here. The nets didn't break, and there was no sinking. You know, and when we know the gospel in its fullness, we know the death, the resurrection of Jesus. Okay? He's got the power to hold us, the power to carry us. And folks, when we look at these, when we look at this passage, we're not just looking about Peter, we're looking about ourselves. Okay, we're looking about ourselves. This is personal to us. You know, the gospel isn't all about just saving us. It's about carrying us and holding us through life. And God's power holds us and carries us. Whatever situation you may be going through, okay, the gospel, the power of Jesus, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ will carry us. And we're just going to open that up a little bit later. You know, it's walking in the power of God. We see the children of Israel. Can you remember when they were rescued, when they were saved, parting of the Red Sea? Okay, they relied on the power of God each and every day, who led them, who fed them, who watered them, who parted the Jordan for them. And folks, if we're saved by the Lord Jesus Christ today, it's about following him and walking in his power. It's about walking in his power. I was just, when I was saying that testimony about that bloke, you know, I was forever telling him what he should do. But don't walk in the power of my words, my friend. When Jesus said to him, "It is finished," those are the words he reacted on. Well, those words, when they're spoken, they are power. And he can walk in those knowing that it's finished. And folks, I just want us to encourage us to just come to the Lord Jesus. Peter, at this point, jumps in. That's Peter for you, isn't it? You just see his heart. You know, he's in absolute turmoil. He sees Jesus there, but he thinks, that's my Lord. And he jumps in the sea and he swims, and well, it says about 100 yards. I'm not going to encourage anybody to do that today. But, you know, that was Peter for you. That was his heart. He just loved the Lord Jesus. And then this is what Jesus says. Come and have breakfast. And do you know what? This phrase really hit me. Come and have breakfast. You know, because I'm a parent of young children. And sometimes that word come can always be a bit of an instruction and a harsh reality. Oh, you, come here. You know, but this word of come that Jesus is saying to his disciples, I think it's just beautiful. Can you just think of any other... I'm just going to open this out. You're allowed to talk now. Can you think of any other scriptures where Jesus says come? Can anybody think? Yeah. Oh, beautiful. Okay. Isaiah 55. Come, all you are thirsty. All you have got no money. Come to me. Come to me. And that's Jesus' invite, isn't it? It's not just an invite for salvation. It's an invite for his grace, his word in our lives. And you know what? I used to feel a bit awkward when evangelists and missionaries used to come and say, oh, you ought to be going out into your communities. Go out. Do you know what? I don't believe that scripture. I don't believe that scripture. I believe Jesus says, come to me and then go. Because you come to him, okay, and he will strengthen you. He will empower you to go out. If we go out in our own strength, we will get nothing. We will get nothing, okay? It's here, Peter is told to come and eat with me. Eat with me, and I will commission you. I will anoint you to go out. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not saying don't go. But I'm saying before you go, make sure you come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he is the source of all strength. So before you go, come to go. And this is what's happening here. What does Jesus do? Jesus feeds Peter. He feeds the disciples. Question to myself, who is feeding me? Who is feeding me? Where am I getting my nourishment from? Where am I getting my nourishment from? And I want to challenge you with that as well. Jesus is saying, come. Come to me. He's saying that to you. This is, you know, all the other disciples are gone. Jesus is having a heart-to-heart with Peter now. And this is where scripture is. It's personal. It's personal to each and every single one of you. Okay, don't take this corporately. Take this individually. Jesus is saying, you come to me. And I want to feed you. I want to feed you. I want to nourish you. Okay, and I want to anoint you. I want to anoint you for this very day. And that's what Jesus is saying to us, isn't it? He wants to anoint us. And here, Peter, I mean, I'm just going to pick out the high points on these because, you know, Jesus speaks to, who does he speak to? It says, I'm saying Peter. He doesn't call him Peter, does he? He calls him Simon. Because at this point, he isn't the rock man. Okay, he's just Simon. Okay, because he's been humbled. He's on his knees. And Jesus is going to exalt this man. Okay? And that's the way Jesus does things, isn't it? It's when we humble ourselves, he will empower. That's how the gospel works, and that's how Jesus works. And he talks here, doesn't he? He says, Simon, do you love me? And Jesus here uses the word agape, the agape love, which is the unconditional love. Okay? Unconditional love. Peter can't match it. He uses the word filial, which is like brotherhood love. Okay? I don't know why Peter uses that. If I speak to some theologian, but perhaps Peter knew that the Lord knew everything about him. But later on, if you have a look in Peter's epistles, his ministry is based on love. He realizes the love of Jesus. Okay, and he shares the love of Jesus. Let me just go to see if I can find this. 1 Peter 4 verse 8. 1 Peter 4 verse 8. Here we go. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. That's Peter writing that. Peter had learned how to love. Why? Because he'd received the Saviour's love. And you know, he was humbled, a broken man, but Jesus loves him. He doesn't say to him, Peter, he uses the word Simon. Okay, and he tells him. What does he tell him to do? He tells him to feed my sheep. Okay, those aren't just empty words of instruction. They are words of instruction to Peter with the power of God behind. This is anointing Peter for what he's going to do. Okay? When Jesus says something to you, when you sense Jesus speaking to you, don't worry. Just walk in faith. Because when he speaks, and you know he speaks to you inside, okay, that is his power behind it, to ensure that it happens. You know, when Peter was a wobbly man at this point, and Jesus has said, feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my lambs. Okay. And he says, follow me. You know, when I was in the police force, I did a little bit of surveillance, because they thought I could blend into the background. And it was really, really interesting doing surveillance. You'd have a team of about six people following a person, and you'd all swap around, you'd change your clothes, and all that sort of stuff. But, you know, I really got to grips with what this follow me was about, okay? Because wherever that person went, we followed, okay? I'd lost my own, what I wanted to do for that day. What I did was what that person did. Where that person went, we went. That person ate, we ate. Okay? They went to the toilet, we followed them to the toilet. You know, I'd lost everything. You know? And it was just following that person, making sure as a team we didn't lose them. Making sure that we'd find them doing some criminal act. And it was tiring. And it didn't matter what I wanted to do, we were following that person. And there was panic stations when we lost them. Panic stations. You know, Peter knew that Jesus as his saviour, but Jesus has given him a direction here to follow him. Follow him. And that's exactly what he's saying to us, is follow me. Follow me. You know, I'm not, that's a challenge to us all. I'm not saying to us we've got to leave our jobs and all that sort of stuff. I'm just saying, come to Jesus. And follow what he's going to say to you. And listen to him. Because he wants to feed you. And he wants to anoint you. Perhaps he wants to anoint you in your workplace, in a conversation for tomorrow. Lord, just here I am. Feed me. Give me your words for this conversation tomorrow. Lord, strengthen me. Help me. Feed me. Feed me to go. And that's what happened here with Peter, isn't it? That's what happened to Peter. You know, he went and Jesus ascended, then they received the Holy Spirit, didn't they? The Spirit descended upon them in that upper room. And we see that Peter now was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he was driven by the knowledge that Jesus had risen. And we see throughout his ministry, he still made some mistakes, but he was rock solid in courage, wasn't he? Because he knew the commissioning from Jesus, the anointing that Jesus had given him on that beach. Go and feed my lambs. And the Lord had really empowered him. Empowered him. And folks, as we look at this, it's not just about Peter, it's about us. It's about us. And I had real identity issues, I have to say, when I was a bit younger, well, not too long ago. You know, I was brought up in a Christian home. And, you know, my parents are Christians. And before I was a Christian, you know, it's got to be religion, isn't it? You know, because I'd look good on a Sunday, but I was boss of my own life. I believed in Jesus, but he wasn't going to be boss of my life. I was in charge. Okay? And that led to problems, because I was becoming a different person to whoever I was mixing with. And I had real identity issues. Okay? But now I found Jesus. And you know, I know I'm a son of the King. So I'm not worried about what people think of me now. I know that I'm a son of the King. And I've got confidence in that. I know what my identity is. I know who I am. Okay? And, you know, I remember listening to an evangelist from London City Mission once. And it isn't the right word, this, about success at all. It's not the right, but I'll just use it. He was a man who wouldn't go out in the morning. He would just spend time with God's word, with Jesus, in the morning, and then he'd go out in the afternoon. Okay? And apparently people said that his ministry was amazing. What was happening is he was being fed in the morning, and he was going out with the anointing in the afternoon. Okay? That's really important, isn't it? And sometimes in my ministry, I can get busy. I can get busy doing stuff. And God doesn't want me to do stuff. He wants me to be with him. And out of that relationship of coming to him, enables us to go. And I want to encourage you in that, folks, to spend time with Jesus and just to know him. You know, we're living in an era, aren't we, today in the Western, where the church are looking to do things all the time. Different projects, different things and that, or that. Jesus says, come to me. I'll feed you. And that, from that overflow, great things will happen. Great things will happen. And I've just been going through the Psalms. The Psalms, wow, amazing. I've just gone through the Psalms of Ascent. You know, folks, praise is just so important. I just want to read to you from Psalm 67. May God be gracious to us and bless us, and make his face shine upon you. It's his face shining upon us that is the strength, not our own strength, but his face. That you may be known on earth, your saving power among the nations. You know, it's not our power. We've got no power. When we come to Jesus and we're followers of Jesus, do you know there's no power in the new creation? The power all comes from him. You know, we look at John 15 about the vine, doesn't it? Snap off the twig. There's no power in that twig. That twig, that broken twig, will not produce fruit. It's got to be plugged in to the vine, and the power flows through. That is our only strength, to know the Lord Jesus, isn't it? And for him to know. Let the peoples praise you, O God, and let all the peoples praise you. You know, I just think of the walls of Jericho. You know, walking around those walls and praising God, then they see God's power. And that's what God wants from us today, to be praising him, to be seeking him, to be eating with him and dining with him. And then he's in the battles. The battle belongs to him. And we will see him move. A couple of months ago now, I went to a wedding. My sister-in-law got married. Okay? And she walked into this song. I'm just going to play it to you in a minute. If I can find Songs of Solomon, somebody's moved it. And oh dear, where's it gone? I tell you, I've got a new Bible and I'm still bringing my old one with me because you know where everything is in your old Bible, don't you? Here we go. Songs of Solomon. Oh, goodness. Has anybody got Songs of Solomon in their Bible or has mine just disappeared? Help me out. Yeah. Yeah, of course it is. Songs of Solomon. There we go. There it is. Here we go. And this was, I'm just going to play it to you in a minute. Okay, this song. But it's Songs of Solomon, and it's chapter 2, and it's verses 10 to 12. Here we go. My beloved spoke and said to me, "Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth, the time for singing has come, and the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. The fig tree puts forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grapes give a good smell. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away." And I didn't really listen to it at the wedding. I was kind of emceeing the wedding, and you know, your mind's going all over the place. But that song has just really spoken to me. You know, because the Lord is calling us to come away with him. He's calling us to be pilgrims. Each and every one of us to be pilgrims and follow him. Okay? And you know, it talks about him coming back there, doesn't it? When the winter is gone. You know, we may be going through difficult times. But just know, we're not abandoned. God is with us. God is with us. And he wants to carry us. And he wants you and I to see his salvation, his power in our lives as we walk with him. And that's why we praise. It's not just all about the saving. That's really, really important. But we will see his salvation on a daily, weekly basis of his hand as we follow him. You know, and I just want you to, I'm just going to play this song. It's by the New English Orchestra. And if I was any good, I'd sing it myself, but I'm not. So you'll listen to somebody else. But I just want you to receive this, and myself, receive this as an invite from the Lord. Just come follow me, you know. You just think of what the Lord was saying to Peter. The Lord loved him, didn't he? Unconditionally, even though Peter let him down. You know, I've let the Lord down time and time again, even worse than Peter. But he loves me. He loves me. And that's what Jesus is saying in this verse here. I rise, my love, my fair one. That's you. Come away with me. And whether you know the Lord today or whether you don't, he's saying even to those who are saved, just come away with me. Arise and come away with me. Can we play that? Is that right? Do you want me to run down?
Or walk down?
went down to London a couple of weeks ago, and I must have played that song about 30 times. And, you know, it's just an invitation. The Lord is saying, come away with me. And he loves you. And whatever is in the past, Jesus loves you. And he's calling you to come away. Arise and come away. Peter was a man who was just absolutely emotionally shot, but Jesus came and used him. And I just want to leave that with you folks. And you know, if anybody, the Lord's spoken to anybody this morning, you want prayer, just, I've got no answers for you, but I know God has. And you know, I'm happy to pray with anybody. One of my greatest, biggest things in my heart these days is personal. Let's just get around people, let's pray for people, and let's see God move and act in the lives of people, because that's what his heart is. He wants you to come away with him. Amen.